The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
God. I say glory to God. Are we excited? Amen. Today is day 22. And if you're here for the first time or you've not come for a very long time, you're wondering the 22 of what? The 22 of 30 days of light. We've been receiving light from God's word for 30 whole days. You know, something I've observed is that the name you give to meetings follow them. It follows the meeting. You know, and when the Lord gave us this name, 30 days of light, it's really been 30 days of illumination. Yeah. Revelation back to back. It's been amazing. Glory to God. And you know, the kind of testimonies that have been coming are very satisfying for me. Yes, people testify of healings and all of that, miracles. But you know, the satisfaction sometimes when I hear people talk about addictions broken, prayer life getting better, spiritual life getting stronger, that's very satisfying. And it's even going to happen more and more. Amen. So I've been teaching us on oikos. That's the topic we've been handling for the whole 30 days. And you know, when I was starting, I was telling you that I have a feeling that somewhere in the midst of the 30 days, I'm going to tidy up the oikos teaching and get it, because there's another thing in my notes that is set that I'm thinking God will have me teach, but then I've not had that leading to stop this oikos teaching. So maybe that may be when we do 21 days of revelation. Don't be afraid. It's not going to hold, at least not now. Amen. Are you blessed? Since the beginning of this service. So we've been looking at oikos. Oikos is simply the Greek word that means household. And that is trying to show that we as believers, we are the house of God. And I gave you two different contexts. You can look at that. The first context is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't bother posting. Don't bother projecting nothing. So open your Bible. Yes, that's why I put it. The first context is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Where Paul said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God, temple of the Holy Spirit. And in that context, it's showing us that individually we are God's temple. I always like to start with this introduction. Individually we are God's temple. In other words, God lives, once you are born again, God lives in all of us individually. So God lives in you, God lives in me. And somebody may be wondering, how can God live in you, you and you? So that's why people come up with all this revelation of no believer carries the fullness of God. You carry half of him because he cannot be in you, you and you. No. We carry the fullness. He said, no, you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In that context. I get the point. And how I explain that to you, for instance, is when you look at a human being, I've used this illustration like more than 5 times since we started, but I'm going to use it again. When you look at a human being, if you get blood from his hand and run a genotype test, you have the same result. Get blood from the neck, you have the same result. Get blood from the leg. Why? Because every part of his body carries the fullness of everything his body represents. So the hand carries the fullness of life flowing through this body. The leg carries that same fullness of life flowing through his body. You get the point? Every part of me carries the fullness. That's why get hair from her head. Run DNA test. Get another hair from her hand, from her leg. It will give you the same results. Because every part of your body carries. So your hand can actually say, I carry the life of Pastor Henry. And it will be correct. I get what I'm saying? I carry Pastor Henry's life. It will be correct. Once it is connected to me. So in that context, we can say every believer houses God. Because we carry his life, we carry his righteousness, we carry his DNA, we carry his nature. I get the point in that context. But by the time you read 1 Corinthians 3:16,
He said, "No, you know that you are the temple of God." In that context now, that you in that context is the plural you. He's now saying, "No, you know that all of you together are the temple of God." So that is a context in which we house God individually. But then a broader view of that is that we actually house God collectively. Which is why we say things like, no singular believer can say something like, "I don't need a church. Because God lives in me. I carry life. I carry all those new creation things. I carry Zoe. I don't need a church." You can't say that. Yes, you carry Zoe. Yes, you have that. You are the house of God. Yes, God lives in you. But then, the reality of it is that God actually lives in all of us together. So you will begin to enjoy your benefits as a son of God when you are in that fellowship of the saints. So I've been showing us, for instance, the different ways the church was referred to. For instance, I showed the church was referred to as the body of Christ. The church was referred to as the pillar and ground of truth. The way we are studying now is that the church is referred to as the family of God. So, actually, everybody that is born again, hear what I'm going to say. Once you are born again, you come into God's family, God's global family. But it is being part of a local church that brings you, that makes you to begin to enjoy the privileges of that family of God. Let me explain what I'm saying. If you give birth to a child, a couple gives birth to a child, and for some reason that child is taken away from them. So you realize that child by right is a member of that family because it carries their DNA, carries their genotype, but all the privileges they have to offer to a member of their family, they can't offer to that child. He might not be able to go to school. He might not be able to feed well. He might not be able to dress well. So is he a part of that family? Yes. Is he enjoying the privileges of membership in that family? No. So it is being part of the local church that actually gives you, opens you up to the privileges that God has to offer to his sons. That's why there are many people that are believers. They are actually sons of God. But many things that should come to the average believer, things like knowledge. The average believer should have knowledge. But the guy is deficient of knowledge. Has God provided it? Yes. What is the problem? He is not part of a family. Are you what I'm talking about? For instance, I was talking about that yesterday. Leading, direction. There's a direction that family brings. But the guy is born again. He doesn't belong to any family of God. No church. So that is lacking in his life. Whereas God has provided that. So I'm saying all of this to say that everybody needs a church. Everybody must have a church. Because the local church in a particular place is the representation of God's global family. So what God wants to do in his global house, he does in the different local churches in different places. That's why you cannot be a Christian and enjoy the benefits of Christianity if you don't belong to a church. You cannot. You cannot. Forget all the work thing that are trying to teach you all over the place. You cannot do that. And we're looking at the implication of church being the family of God. We saw something says that the fact that if it's a family, the family has culture, the family has the way they do their things, a family, you know, we're looking at all of that, and I'm going to come back to that maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow is a very important day. In fact, this week we've entered is a very important time in these 30 days of light. So if you've been following, don't miss any day this week. It's a very important week. Because, you know, there's a way teaching ministry works. Okay. A teacher can teach you for 5 hours, but he used 3 hours, 30 minutes to lay foundation. Now, that's actually how teaching ministry works. So sometimes a teacher can run a series part 1 to 7. Part 1 to 5, he's actually laying foundation. Sometimes he eventually says what he actually wants to say in part 7. And that's actually the proper way to teach. Because people that build are into construction will tell you, you give a lot of time to the foundation so they can carry the weight. So don't miss this week. So I'm saying we are in this family of God. I must understand how to be a proper member of the family. For instance, I was saying yesterday, one implication of being part of this family is that, one implication of the church being the family of God is that we are all brothers and sisters. It means that person by your side, if he's actually a member of this church, is a brother to you. It's not just somebody you met. Whether he's Igbo or Yoruba or Hausa, he's a brother. And I said it here is that I want to say it again. There is nobody here that is from any tribe that will be looked down on because he's from whatever tribe. I get the point. Now, that's why I say this is not an Igbo church. But I speak Igbo here. See, because that's the language I can speak. In fact, like I was telling about just a few minutes ago now, one of the songs that God has put in my heart that they will mention as Zoe is a full, complete Yoruba song. Beginning to end, no single English. And when I heard it, the Lord said they will do the song. He said, well, will you understand? You will understand. They will write the lyrics for you. Say amen. That is not an Igbo church. Everybody, there is oneness found in Christ Jesus. Once you are part of this family now, we see you as brother. If something happens to you, the same way we will reach out to our family member if they have problem, that's the same way we'll reach out to you if you have problem. Because once you join a family, you are no longer just a person. You are now a brother. That's why when we look at you and say, ah, Brother Jeremiah, that's not trying to spiritualize you. That's just trying to say that we are from the same womb. But that's the Greek word adelphos. It means brethren. It means people that are born from the same womb, but that came from the same womb. So, that's why, again, if you don't have a local church you are committed to, you rob yourself of so many relationships that God will bring your way in the local church. So many. I get the point. Let me put it this way. I said jokingly, but it's actually true. Majority of you, your wives, your husbands, are in this church. But then you wouldn't know. Now, away from wife and husband, there are many relationships that God has orchestrated for you in this church, in your church. But if you are not committed, they will elude you. So it's so important that you realize when God brings you into here, you are not just here in church, you are in family. So that's what we call this place, family. You can look at your brother and say, brother or sister. That's not just a way of saying, you know, brother is for people that are bigger than us. No. It means we are family. That's why they arrested Peter in Acts chapter 12. I always use this example. They arrested Peter in Acts 12. Bible said the church prayers was made without ceasing by the church. The question I always ask whenever I read that, do you think it is all the believers that got born again in Acts chapter 3 and all the believers that got born again in Acts chapter 4 that gathered to pray for Peter in Acts chapter 12? No. Bible said believers are added daily. So at the time when Peter was arrested in Acts 12, the church had a population of over 20,000 people. So were they, was it all of them are gathered to pray for him? No. Bible said the church gathered. That is the exact local assembly he belonged to. They gathered for him. That's why when you don't have a family you belong to, a church you belong to, you can get into trouble and nobody will show up for you. I know what I'm talking about. Nobody will show up for you. Again, that's why family is important. That's why church is important. Are you still here? So, today yesterday I was showing you the duties of a father, because every family must have father, but must have children. Every family must have a fatherhood structure and have children. So, in this family now, there is a father. There are no fathers in this family. There is no nuclear family that has fathers. I get what I'm saying. Or does your nuclear family have fathers? No nuclear family has fathers. Every nuclear family has a father. Again, that's why I said fatherhood is a structure. Because you observe, even people, have you observed when your father dies, or if your father dies, your mom begins to play the role of father and mother over you. That structure is still existing. I get what I'm saying. So I've explained that again and again. Now, so yes, I will show you the duties of a father in a family. And we're so blessed. Were you blessed today? Extensive 3 hours plus. I think about 3 hours, 30 minutes teaching yesterday. Very powerful times we had yesterday. Glory to God. No, when I went back last night, I was like, I want to go back to that meeting. It was really very amazing. I know you don't want to go back to, but I actually wanted to go back to the meeting. But I had a very good time. So today I'm going to talk about, so yesterday we talked about fathers. Today we're talking about sons. Is that okay? We're talking about sons. So this is a family. How do you become a son in this family? How do you become a son in the local church? If God's house is a family, and there is a father, how do I become a son? How do I become a daughter? I'd like to first start showing you that not everyone that is in the church is a son of that ministry. Not everyone in the church is a member of that ministry. Not everybody. All of us come into this place first. Now, hear what I'm going to say. When you come into this place first, you come in as a guest, a special guest, our honored guest. So if it's your first time today, we'll celebrate you. Hallelujah. But then coming in here, can we celebrate our first time as if it's your first time? That's not celebrate your special guest. Can we celebrate them for real now? Yes. So we celebrate you. You're welcome. Now, but coming in here on the first day does not automatically translate to the fact that I am now a member or a son of the house. Now, all of us here came in here one day. Some of you can remember the first day you walked into church. Do you remember? Do you remember? All of us can remember the first day. The first day you came in, you looked around. Who is this guy talking? Who is that one singing? Who is that person welcoming me at the door? Why are they all looking like this? What? You remember your experience the first day. You come in as a guest. The mistake some pastors make and some members make is to think that because they come into church once in a while, that they're automatically members. No, sir. Listen. When you come in and you come and you come. Now, you come in as a guest. Most times when people come in as a guest, what normally brings them or keeps them at first is need. Needs. Maybe the person is sick. Some of you came in here because somebody invited you because you are sick. You came here because somebody invited you because you had a need. You came here because of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to come like that. How did Peter, James, and John start following Jesus? In Luke chapter 5, Jesus met them and they were fishing and they had caught nothing all night. And Jesus told them, just launch out here. And they launched out there and they caught fish. And they abandoned everything and followed him. So what attracted them to Jesus was needs be met. At this level where you are just coming around, you are need driven. You are here because you like the message they are preaching. Some of you, that's why you're here. You are here because you like the music. You are here because you like the pastor. You are here because you like the way they care for you. Man, the care here is amazing. You are here. That's where many people are. And there's nothing wrong with that for a start. I get what I'm saying. You are here because, you know, this pastor can teach. Oh, I love the word. I'm here for the miracles. That guy get power, sharp. Anytime he does land like this, so I'm just going to be here. That's why people are in church. So many people. There's nothing wrong with being here. But there's something wrong with remaining there. There must now be a transition from that point where you are in church because you have a need, because you like the church or what have you, to a point where there is now commitment. I want you guys to listen to me. It must transit from being a guest or being in the congregation to now being a son. So not everyone that enters church and attends 2-3 times is qualified to be called a member or a son of the family. No, sir. And why are we talking about this? Because God wants sons. Because God is not running a company. He's running a family. God doesn't want customers. He wants sons. It's not what I'm talking about here. Should I say it again? God does not want customers. That's why, believer, you are more than a customer in God's house. And don't always demand that we give you customer service treatments. Because God is not running a business. He's not running a company. God doesn't need clients. God needs sons. Now, you're already a son of God because you're a believer. No doubt about that. But I mean, in his different local churches, he needs people that will stay there as sons. Not people that will be there as customers. Because at that point when you just come in, you come when you can, You come where your clothes is neat. You are just there. You are just at that point. You are a. You like the church, oh, but you are still thinking like a customer. I will come to buy from you if I like your goods. This Gary is not looking good today. I'm not buying from you. I'm going to another place. It's not that business mindset. Now, there is now a need for you to transit from that point to the point of sonship. That transition happens by commitment over time. Commitment to two things. Watch what I'm going to show you. Commitment to two things. Number one, commitment to training. To training. You are not willing to be a son. I am not considered a son in the house. If you are not willing to commit yourself to training. So, you just came in here today. Or you've been here for like 3 months now. You are welcome. But then, you are not yet a member here. Or a son here. We love you. We celebrate you. We appreciate you. We want to have you here for a longer time. That's the truth. But, you are not a son here. It is now commit yourself to training. That's why you notice when you come, the first thing we begin to tell you is, do your PGTI basic. PGTI is Platform of Grace Training Institute. This notice about our church. Every church you go to, notice the first thing they begin to tell you, some people will tell you, do your foundation school. Do your Sunday school. All of that is trying to tell you, before we begin to see you as one, who is one of us here, you must do your training. You must commit to training. So you've not committed yourself to training, you are not counted a son in the house. And I say it all the time, people like demanding what is due for sons, whether or not sons. Jesus told that woman, it is not right for me to take the children's bread and give to dogs. What does that tell you? There are things that are in the local church that are exclusive to sons. And that is the truth forever. You know, I was saying it in the first service jokingly, but actually mean it. We allow some things in time past, but the way we do things now, for instance, we can't stand and wed you in this church, if you have not done our PGTI basic at least. What it means is you've not applied yourself to training. That training is the least you can do in this church. It's just 8 weeks. Or nine. That's the least. You know, right? That's the least. Because by the time you do advance, advance is 6 months. And that's if you pass. Which night basic, you not write the exam, just finish, you just give your certificate, you go. Advance, you write the exam. People that wrote the last exam are still waiting for their results. It is applying yourself to that basic training that lets us know, I want to be a son here. Let me say this to you. We are not asking for sons because we want people that we can control. God wants sons in his house because his house is a family and not a company. That's just take that to your mind. This is not a company. You think it's a company? Well, people think churches. The church is just business. Well, in a sense, if you call church business, you are still okay. You are still right. Jesus said, I will be about my father's business. It's just that we are not selling things here. We are after the business of souls. So in that context, call us business. It's okay. I won't even fight you. But in the real sense, God is raising a family. And to transit from being just a guest to being a son, you must commit yourself to training. Basically, things like foundation school for some churches, that we call it. Here we call it PGTI Basic. That is the basic platform of grace training. And that's just about 8 weeks. 1 hour class, 8 weeks. Or 9 weeks. After service, just wait behind for 1 hour, we'll teach you. He said, is that not too much? That is what it means to be so. When Jesus called the disciples to him, he didn't just call them and say, you know, I've invited all of you. You can have my disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you. So every time you join a church, you are applying to be made. It's an application to be made into something. It's what I'm talking about. So, when you come into grace here, what I told us is, please make me into something. And that making is a process. That's why you cannot be a son in any house if you've not applied yourself to the trainings in that house. You can't be a son. And I'm saying this for you to know it. And you know, and I say it all the time.
Oh, well, let me give you the second before I say what I want to say.
The second thing, you must apply yourself. That's number one, training. Number two, you must apply yourself to the instructions and to the practices in that house. Because there are people that have done their PhD basic, but the simple instructions that come in the house, they don't follow it. Tomorrow by 2 p.m., we are going to be jumping up. They will never jump. They do what they want to do. That's not how sons behave. We are going to be here for 3 days. You will never see them. They come in when they want. That's not sonship. You know the point? You think this pastor, that's why I don't like this. You know, somebody actually many years ago said concerning our church, said that you people's pastor is anointed. He can preach. That church is powerful. But I will not join you people. And somebody said, why? I said, they demand commitment. And I said, that is actually who I am. And not just, that's who any serious church is. I gave an example in the first service. I gave that example yesterday. Some of you grew up in families. And if you grew up there, sorry, I'm going to help you this morning. You grew up in families where you had a maid. When you were growing up, you didn't learn to wash plates. You didn't learn to cook food. You didn't learn to do anything. Or maybe you grew up as the last born. Your first daughter was doing everything for you. And maybe your mom was doing that because she loves you. Most times, that maid that they were placing all those demands on eventually turns out to be the good child. Because all those things they were demanding of her produced her. Any church that does not demand commitment from you is treating you badly. Any church that does not demand commitment from you is treating you badly. So, to be a son in the house, you must apply yourself to the trainings we are offering and to the instruction and practices. We are fasting so day. You fast with us. We have a 3 days meeting. You show up. We want to go and reach out. All our practices and instructions, you apply yourself to them. That's what makes you a son. That's why the way we throw around father and sonship in this generation must be reviewed. Somebody joins your church. 3 weeks, you say, you know, that's my son over there. Maybe because person brought seed. He brought 1 million. He said, you see my son. Let me tell you, I celebrate your seed. But it's not your seed that makes you a son in this house. Yes, sons we give. But that's not what makes them sons. Only. I get what I'm saying. So you see, pastors refer to people as sons who they don't know. They don't know their hate. They don't know where they're coming from. You cannot possibly be a son of a minister in 1 month. Did you hear what I said now? You can't. In 1 month, you're already somebody's son. Even you didn't become your father's son in less than 1 month. It took you 9 months to become a child of your father. Biologically, two of us. How many months? I heard it's up to 40 weeks. So how do you guys come about that? Is it 9 months or 40 weeks? 38, 39, 40. Nice one. It has to tell you that even in the natural, and that if when you come at after that 9 months, you are so small, looking like nothing. Do you know how long it will take before eventually your father can say, oh, that's my son, I can commit things into his hands? It's only a Christian that will meet people today and they become our sons tomorrow. That's why when you join a church, you've applied for sonship. A son of the house. Which is eventually what God wants you to be. Not because the pastor, not about being the pastor's spiritual son. I mean, that's what God wants you to be. If you're going to be in any family, you're going to be there as a son. But it doesn't just come like that. So you give yourself to training, give yourself to the practices, give yourself to the instructions that are going on in that house. That's what is going to produce a son out of you. And the first service, I gave them this circle, and I want to give that circle again. Because it's when you begin to give yourself to these things that you begin to make progress. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writing about his son Timothy, said, I hope to send unto you, verse 19, Timothy, open your Bible, please. As I'm quoting from your Bible, I want to send unto you Timothy. Okay? If you go back to verse 22, he said, that's Philippians 2, verse 22. He said, for you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. So, sonship and fatherhood is not a play, it's not a joke. The proof that Timothy was a son was that he has served with Paul in the gospel. It is that training, that commitment that makes you a son. So look at this circle I'm going to give you. I did this last year, and I'm doing it this year again. Okay. Hallelujah. Don't say anything. So the first circle, remember this last year? This first circle, we call it the community. This second circle, we call it the crowd. This third circle, we call it congregation. This, there should be another circle in here. So this fourth circle, we call it the committed. Then this last circle, we call it the core. So this community actually means everybody in Enugu. That's our community as a church. This crowd is the first guy that came to church today, the guy that came for the first time, you know, and all of that. We see you, we love you, we see you as part of our crowd. Now, the congregation is that brother that has come once, come twice, come a third time. He's actually coming. But he has not applied himself to our trainings, but he's coming. It is training that will now move you from congregation to committed. And if God wills, to the core is the leadership of the house. If God wills. I get what I'm saying? So, you cannot, so a member in church must be moving. That he must be moving from just being someone that came into this church to being part of the congregation to being sons. You know, the problem is that I say this all the time, there are people that come into, there are some of you that I love, you come, so come into this church in less than 3 months, they've established themselves. You can even look at them and say, that's a member. There are some that come, they keep loafing around, they come today, the next 3 months you see them, and it's not as though that day they did not come, that they went somewhere else, they were not just in the mood to get anywhere that day. You can, and then you ask them, what's your show? You say, platform of grace. We are not saying we are not, we recognize you too. But just know that, amen, that when they're sharing food in the house, every mother we give to the children, before he gives to the neighbors. Seller. I don't think any mother will first of all give to the neighbors and tell children to starve. It's your children that will eat now. And actually, that's why I'm going to say something when I'll be rounding up. When I pray over you, because there are things that, when I pray over you, I say this in the first service and I say, I bless you as a father. That statement, and I can normally say, I can just say, be blessed, you'll be blessed. But if I say, I bless you as a father, that statement as a father has already exempted many people from that prayer. Actually. Doesn't matter whether you shout amen or not. Your father, your biological father carries a blessing. How many of you know this? You know your biological father carries a blessing. Even if you hate him. I'm just saying you should know. Now, he carries a blessing that he may not carry and be able to give to just his neighbor, but he can give it to you. That's how spiritual family works. So, everything that God prepared for sons in this house are for sons, actually. Now, you can come here and get your healing. You know, the inheritance of the sons, they are beyond physical things, actually. It's beyond healing and miracles. Talk of growth. Talk of progress. Talk of ministry. Talk of how you become a stronger Christian. So, you begin to move. It is commit yourself to training, to instructions, to the practices, to working in the church. That's what makes you an established son. You notice I've not said anything about whether you have money or not. I get what I'm saying. I've not said anything about whether you are educated or not. I've not said anything about whether you are perfect or not. Because that's why when people come into church, no matter how sinful you are, we can never throw you away. Never. Once, because you know what we know? Once you are willing to commit yourself to these two things we mentioned, your life will adjust. We know it like we know our name. Give me anybody, call him the worst sinner who does not respond to anything. Give him 3 months. Let him commit himself to these two things. Training and my instructions. Under God, your life will change. Under God, I'm telling you. You see, the way I'm saying with confidence. I say, it's not possible. They have not born the sinner that God's word cannot change. They have not given it to the person. So you see, the reason why your life is still the way it is because there is no local church you've gone to commit yourself to their training, to their instructions. That's why. That's why you've been struggling with one particular sin for God knows how long. Are you following me, friends? Are you still here? This message is not meant to be sweet. It's just meant to be entering your eyes as you're sitting down. Is it entering? Uh-huh. So you commit yourself to these two things. Now, that makes you a son. You know why I'm saying this? Because it is at this level where you commit yourself to these two things that the DNA of that ministry can be formed in you. This is very important. So, if you have a son here or you have a daughter biologically, what proof that the person is your son or your daughter will be the DNA, right? Right? I think DNA is the oxy something nucleic acid. Is it ribonucleic? That are the oxy. Eh? The oxynucleic ribo. I know it. It's just that. Now, what's DNA? DNA is actually what proves that. You know, of course, everybody knows DNA now. Once you give birth, I say, do DNA test too. Because it will not be your child. Amen. I think it's actually okay to run DNA test. Even as believers. Don't you think so? That is okay. It's not because, now, but don't run it because you are allowing mistrust in your family. I don't trust my wife. I have to do tests. No, that's not the reason. I personally think that with the way the Nigeria, I'm not insulting you people, medical people, with the way Nigeria health sector is, when you give birth to a child, test the person to be sure, because, except you are there in the hospital watching them bring out the child, because these people are interesting. That's by the way. No, I'm not saying against you people at all. I'm just saying things happen. Did you see that woman that was confessing that she switches babies in hospital for fun? For it, she said, if you are born in so place, was it Bini or so? Around so time that she actually can do DNA test because she switches children in the hospital just for the fun of it. She was arrested actually, but she has done it. It changes nothing. No, stop thinking. Your father is your father. Don't worry. Now, that's where DNA comes in. So, if someone is your son or is your father, DNA must prove it. Now, if we have spiritual father, spiritual son, spiritual family, do you know what it means? It means that if all of us say we are from the same spiritual family, when Pastor Casey does something, right? And then Minister UD does something, in two different places, so you should be able to say that is something about both of you. They should be able, because if you take the DNA of a brother and a brother, it should be able to match. So what forms that DNA in people? Is this, I'm telling you, training. Put up that Philippians 2 verse 20. Let me see it on the screen. Look at that. Paul said, verse 20 quickly. Okay, verse 20. For I have no man, talking about Timothy, I have no man like-minded. Like-minded. So he's saying Timothy has my mind. In Amplified Classic said, he's of the same kindred spirits. Amplified Classic. I have no one like him, no one of so kindred a spirit. Passion Translation said, the same passion in my heart for you is the same thing that Timothy has in his heart. That means what is working in Paul is already working in Timothy. What does that tell you? That did not happen because they just met themselves and said and came to church 2 times. To carry the DNA of a house, the DNA of a man, you must commit yourself to training and instructions. Hear me, friends. When Elijah ascended, Elisha did something, and the prophets around said, the spirit of Elijah is now on Elisha. That's 2 Kings 2 verse 15. The spirit of Elijah is now, 2 Kings rather, 2 15. The spirit of Elijah is now on Elisha. Why? They saw similarities. So it's not enough to say, PG is my church. If it is your church, you must carry our DNA. They saw the same kind of miracle that Elijah worked. Same kind of miracle, I said in the first service, every miracle that Elijah worked, Elisha worked that same miracle in one way or the other. One multiplied flour, the other multiplied oil. You see the same flow of spirits. It's one flow I'm talking about here. One was sent to a widow woman. The other one was sent to a wealthy woman. Both of them, same testimony. They were sustained by women. That was. You see the same pattern. As a matter of fact, Elisha did about 16 regular miracles. About that. Elisha did about 32 regular miracles. So he doubled it. Same pattern. Same flow. It's awful I'm talking about, friends. Now, how did that happen? Such that when you teach, somebody says, do you know Pastor Henry? The way you just explained the Bible now. Now, how does that form? Or when you teach, when Jeremiah teaches somewhere, somebody will say, this thing you are saying now, you sound so much like one sister Rose that came here some time ago. Do you know her? The Bible will ask me, I say, that person is in my church. He said, you know what is happening? It means there is that similarity of spirits. That tells you that sonship and fatherhood is not a joke. It's not about just coming into church and you say, you know, because I'm now in this church, I came here two times, so I'm a member, I'm a son. So prove your sonship. Let's run DNA tests. Will it match? Glory to God. So, this is very important. So, I'm going to challenge you before I proceed and round up. Please, if you are here and you believe that God has sent you here to be your church, commit yourself to the trainings and to the instructions that we offer. That's how this will benefit you. Commit yourself to it. It's not even hard. It's not actually hard. Because here we try to make things very easy for people. This is not a church we ask you to come to church Monday to Monday. Except you are doing 30 days of lights. You know what I mean? But even if we say Monday to Monday, it is in that commitment. So that tomorrow you will not be angry for nothing. Say, I've been here, they don't used to notice me. Commit yourself. Amen. Now, what are the characteristics of sons? Let me take you through that. What makes a true son? What are the marks of a true son? Number one, a son of a family is a student of the father, is a student of the father's teachings. One major way to show that you're a son of a house is that you're a student. That's why here we run our church almost like a school. Because actually, you know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 10, he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Doctrine there means teaching. He said, he mentioned many things, by purpose and all that. He said, Timothy had fully known. How come Timothy fully knows that? He taught him. Because previously in chapter 2 of that same 2 Timothy verse 2, he told him, the same thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commits faithful men. So how what is the mark that you threw on in this house? You are learning. They're learning from us. I don't consider someone a true son. Now hear what I'm going to say. And don't misunderstand it. I don't consider someone a true son of a family who has 1,000 teachers. Because, you know, people think they sound spiritual on Facebook. You say, you know, I listen to apostle this, prophet this, evangelist this, daddy this. I don't take you serious. Now, am I saying you can't listen to other people? No, you can. But you must have a major place you're feeding from. What am I trying to say? You can eat from restaurants once in a while, but you should have your mother's kitchen. Did you hear what I said? You cannot eat from restaurants more than you eat from your mother's kitchen. except you are an irresponsible son. The Igbo survey say, no more on your gas. Did you hear that? No more that nobody will say that the mother's food is not sweet. But some members actually say that their pastor's food is not sweet. Say, is that guest minister that I like? You know why you like guest ministers? When I travel as a guest minister, I travel with fire. You know what I mean? If you meet me as a guest minister, you don't know it's your pastor. All this one, put up, it's not put up. Straight to the point, fire is burning. There are 30 people here. You just do that for like 1 hour, you carry your Bible and you go home. So when a guest minister comes to your church, he's coming to add something. He just comes and says, this is what we need in the church. This is not what you need in the church. It's all what I'm talking about here. You must be a student of Father's teaching. The disciples of Jesus met him. I said that in the first service. And they told him, teach us to pray. No, God was talking about that recently. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. In other words, we've seen John's disciples pray. We've seen how they pray. But we don't want to pray like them. Teach us how you do your own prayer. That's the heart of a song. I know what I'm saying. We've seen them pray. We've seen John. We've seen Nicodemus' disciples pray. But then we want you to tell us how you do your own prayer. That's a son talking. It's not, well, whether you teach me or not, I know where I can go and learn it. Because life does not revolve around you. That's what a son talking. A son is a student of his father. A student. And that's why I said in the first service, you must carry a posture of a student. You must carry the posture of a student. And I told him a story in the first service. Very interesting story. Very interesting story. A guy was in a vision. He had a vision where the Lord actually told him that he didn't see. I was sure the Lord spoke to that guy. The Lord told him, Pastor Henry Onyedikachi, look for him, follow him. And prior to that day, someone had invited him about for our program, and he just dropped the flyer carelessly. He said he had that vision. He jumped up and began to look for that flyer. And said, "I saw." I said, "Hey, I know this guy." And he came. He said, "The Lord said I should follow you." And whenever you tell me that, I always say, "You are welcome. Let's see how it goes." Let's see how it goes. Is you when you say, "I want to be your son," because the truth of the matter is, whether you say, you know, people normally go around saying, "Be my spiritual father." If you say that, it's okay, but it's actually not necessary. If you apply yourself to training the instructions that the man offers, you're actually a spiritual son. So when people normally say to me, "Be my spiritual father," I always say, "Let's see how it goes." So the guy said, "I want to be your spiritual." I said, "Well, let's see how it goes." You know, in the next minute, I knew that guy was not going to follow me. I'm talking about the posture of a student. 5-10 minutes from then, he was talking to me. He said, you know, he wanted to say something. He said, you know, as men of God that we are, exactly, he said that I know this guy is going nowhere with me. Now, did he lie that he's a man of God? No. But sir, when you are before your teacher, amen, you can't see that as a man of God. Let me even teach you something. Whenever you're before, you can't be a sanguine before your teacher. Even if you're a talkative, you can't be a talkative before your teacher. There is a posture that shows that you want to learn. I gave him an example in the first service. My pastor does not know how long I've been in ministry. He doesn't know of any miracle I've ever performed in my life. He doesn't even know that I have anointing to do anything. I don't tell him. If he knows, he knows by the Spirit. Because that's not the point. Are we competing for anything? Say, you know, sir, I raised the dead. Why? Who asked you? It's awful I'm talking about. Why tell us I raised the dead? Congratulations. Hallelujah. So he said, as men of God, that we are, you know, as fellow men of God. I can't father my fellow man of God. I can't do that. He doesn't have the right posture. And I didn't tell him anything. I just said, yes, I get. 2-3 weeks after that, he disappeared. I knew he was going to disappear. Because it takes learning. Amen. How many of you know that, some of that follow me for long, how many of you know there are many men of God?
Okay, a few men of God
in this town, in Osoka, in this town, that have come to me. Many, some of them are popular on big billboards. They've come and said, the Lord said we should submit to you. They don't stop to 2 weeks. Because the Lord said they submit to me. What people understand by that is, lay hands on me. I want to flow in the prophetic. I want to hear the thing. The Lord said they should submit to me. First of all, is that the Lord said he submits to my teaching. Say amen. Start learning what I'm saying. Because that's how Jesus told them, the words I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. If you want to catch the spirit of a man, pay attention to the words of that man. His spirit and his words. So, you are in this church, you must be learning from us. You can't be here, for instance, and you don't have my books. You can't be here, you don't have our tapes. You can't be here, we have teaching meetings. You know, I observed when we had family deliverance service. All of you came. There's nothing wrong with that. You are still at that level of needs, and it's okay. I'm only saying, you will now have to graduate from there. So now, I want to know what makes these things work. So teaching. Amen? You're a student of your father. Number two. What makes a son? A true son is faithful. He stays faithful. He stays faithful. There is a difference between the mindset of a son and the mindset of a servant. And Jesus illustrated that in John chapter 8 and verse 35. John 8 verse 35. Come and get the screen working. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. This is a major difference between sons and servants. People that have a servant mindset, they don't stay forever. This is what is in our generation. If I come today and it's not as sweet as it was last week, I'm not coming back again. That's how servants think. For instance, in your house, you have... How many of you grew up having maids in your house? Maids, okay. How many of you grew up having people that house helps? All of those things. How many houses did you have growing up? Some one, other people? Some have up to 4 or 5. Some have 3. At different points. Because house helps don't come to stay forever. That's what Jesus is saying. But a son stays forever. Many people join church with a mindset of servanthood. So they are here, but when they don't feel like, they just go. That's not a son. A son abides. Put up that verse with NLT. A son abides in the house forever. John 8:35. Said a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So it is in faithfulness that will prove sonship. That person that comes into a family and in 1 month he has changed church. Some people have 3 churches in 1 year. What exactly is your problem? If you are still searching for a church, it's okay. But I hope you find one soon. And when you find one, settle down there and become a son. Sons don't come and go. Sons stay. Let me give an example. Some of you are students here, right? Some of you are students here. Huh? Okay, I'm seeing some of you. Where is your father? Your family. Your family, where are you guys? Sit. Ogun State. Right. Where is your family? Oje River. You are not with your family. Where is your family? Abuja. You are not with your family, but you are still a part of that family. See, even distance did not stop you from being a part of that family. But once a house elf leaves the house, she has left. She can keep in touch once in a while. Now, that is the mindset many people carry into church. They think that when you come to church, you just come. Whenever you feel like coming, you go. When you don't feel like coming, you just go. There is no faithfulness. That's why you are not a son. There is, the mindset of a son is, I'm here to stay. Forever. That's why, again, I say, there are not many sons in the body of Christ. Not many, many churches have 1,000 people, but they have about 7 sons. Because there are roaming Christians. So that I used to wonder. A man of God comes to town and says, we are starting a branch, he posts on Facebook, we are starting a branch of our church. Saturday is workers and volunteer meeting. If you want to come, come. And people will come. And they will come on Saturday. By Sunday, they are ushering in that same church. People are interested. They are ushering. So, you are a worker in a church that has not trained you. You know, where they roam to that church, they will roam to the next church. Empty. Everywhere you go. You know, there are people that, if you follow pictures of programs in Enugu, they attend every program. Have you seen those people? Every program, you will see the same faces. That just walk. I'm not saying we should not go for a program. I'm just telling you a story. I'm just walking from place to place. You know, the first, let me even say this to you. The reason you have time to go to all those things is because you're not committed to your church. If you're committed to a church, you'll be looking for time. I was in any church I committed. The reason you just roam is because you don't have any church. If you have a church, you'll be looking for time. You just see from and say, Kai, I wish I can attend though, but no time. Sons are planted. They are faithful. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know, I was talking about Bishop Abioye in the first service. And Bishop Thomas Aremu, great men of God, they're about to retire now. You know, internet has been boiling. That's why they're retiring. People should retire now. Won't they retire again? There is actually no problem in Winners Chapel. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's no problem. There is a constitution binding. At that age, you retire. In fact, many other people have been retiring. Just that, like I said in the first service, those two are sons that have stood out for Bishop. So he's conducting a public valedictory service for them. Because these guys have been there. Bishop Abioye, you know, was, he began to follow that man. You can imagine the kind of trust. Are you still here? The kind of trust that Bishop had on that young man. Amen. Glory to God. Let me show you something. I want to confirm what I want to say to you. I wrote that down somewhere in my notes. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, I'm right. He became a bishop in Winners Chapel at 32. Was made a bishop. Some of you are 32 now. That was when the bishop trusted him. I'm saying as far as that time, the guy has stayed faithful till now. And these are heavily anointed men. You know, somebody said, came to one of the comments and wrote, this Bishop Abioye is so, so anointed and they're retiring him. I'm just waiting for him to kind of open his own ministry so that I will join. I wonder what people think church is. Think you are doing politics. These are sons you can emulate. But even if you don't want to emulate them, if they are too far from you, I'm talking to you now. Look at your parents. Some of your parents have been in one church for 35 years. Two of us. And I gave an example in the first service. Those your parents, when they come back every day, do you hear them complain about their church? Eh? Very, very well. And then that church, the only politics they are doing there. Yet when they finish the next day, it's time to wash church on Saturday. They carry their bucket and go. So the point is, it's not as though they don't know there's a problem, but they have come to stay. But our generation, we just come to go. We just move around like we don't have anything we are doing. The kind of complaints I've heard from parents about their churches, you will think that the next day, how many of you have ever asked your mom, why are you still going there? But you don't have to have your question, it changes nothing. If you like, introduce them to Grace Message. They will listen, they will like it. The next day, they carry their bag and go back there. So you cannot change it. Stop trying. This has been their life for over 40 years. May you have that kind of testimonial. For real. May you have that kind of testimonial. We can tell your kids, we've been here. This is our 37th year. That's a proof of faithfulness. That's a proof of faithfulness. Talk about friendship. Your father has some friends. He will tell you it was in elementary 6 that we started talking. But you don't even have any friend from your final year. Because anybody that touches your bones, is over between both of you. Anybody that touches your soil and milk, you are not doing again. Why are you like this? There is no faithfulness. So sons stay and they stay faithful. They are not looking for an opportunity to run away. A slave. So stop thinking like a slave. Let me touch your neighbor. Say, stop thinking like a slave. Tell the person. Say family. Say family. Stop thinking like a slave. You know how slaves think? They roam. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, he said, everyone in Asia has forsaken me. And I was given, you remember Asia? What I'm trying to show you is this. All of us on that side of my voice, your commitment will be tested. That's why I refer to your parents. Look at how your parents. Their commitment will be tested by your friends. They are still there. It's been tested by what other things? Even sometimes maltreatment. It's been tested sometimes by defaulting leaders. They will tell you things the pastor is doing wrong, but they will still go. So they have their commitment tested. Everybody's commitment will be tested. But not everybody stays. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, he said, everyone in Asia has forsaken me. And it's interesting because it was in Asia that the Bible tells us that Paul preached for 2 years non-stop every day. Do you remember that? Yet in 2 Timothy 1, put it up so that I can see it. He said, everyone in Asia has forsaken me. He mentioned two names, Phygellus and Hermogenes. Put up like NLT. These guys were so important to Paul. He said, as you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me. Even Phygellus. So these guys were so important that I had to say, Timothy, when I say everybody, don't think I'm innocent. Even Phygellus. Don't be even. You get the point? Don't be. Faithfulness. When the church is going through a crisis, faithfulness. When the church is under attack, faithfulness. When the church is growing, faithfulness. When the church is not growing, faithfulness. That's a song. That's the heart I want you to carry if you're going to be here. I get the point. And that's actually the heart. You know, I said something in the first service. That's the heart you use to stay in any relationship. Anybody that is married here, I said it and let me say it again. If you've been married for 5 years, for the end of that 5 years of your marriage, you would have seen up to 30 reasons to divorce and break up your marriage. You are just in your marriage because you've chosen to be there. And you've chosen to make it work. True or false? That's true, sir. You married. True or false? So eventually, it is faithfulness that sustains marriage. Is that mindset? That's why I want to say to you guys, if you are married here, don't you ever, no matter the heat of the quarrel, tell your spouse, I think we should end this. What is end? End what? That should not be coming up. End, divorce. What are all those talks you are bringing up? Who is ending what? Now, so I say, what if there is abuse? If there is abuse, we will help you. The first step we're going to offer you is to take you away from that house. You will leave the house for some time. We will work on the relationship and bring both of you together. It may take time. It might even take 6 months. Because we don't want to do a haphazard job where you can't start, they start beating you again. I know what I'm talking about. Sir, is there no room for divorce in God's word? Well, there is a little space for that, but I don't want to go into that today. But it's better you don't know it. Let me tell you, anything you accept in your mind, gradually you begin to consider it. I believe salvation is eternal. And I believe that my marriage is a type of Christ and the church. So I believe my marriage is meant to be eternal until death do us part. That's where I stand. Now, that's the same thing you carry into the church. It's not any smart. You say, I want to change my church. Not somebody came here some time ago. I don't know if that lady, I don't, can't even remember her face. Came to my office one time ago and said, I came to church last Sunday and I said, I should come and see you today. I said, wow, you're welcome. Your first time, yes. And told me, I don't know why I even asked. I said, so who invited you? She told me. So where have you been worshiping before? She said, I've been redeemed. I said, wow, why are you living redeemed? Like, can people change churches? Yes. You might not have found your church. Maybe your parents gave birth to you there, and for some reason you felt you've seen something better. Say, but I actually want to know why. Are you what I'm talking about? Why are you living redeemed? She said, you know, I've been there all my life. I just wanted a new experience, a new environment. I said, well, you know. Like, I thought, I laughed. I said, well, this is not the environment. I said, have you told your pastor? He said, no, but I tell you, we don't agree. So I just need a change. I said, did they do anything to you? He said, no. Any quarrel? No. What's the problem? I just want a new environment. I said, well, we're going to do something about this. So I'm going to tell you to go and pray for 2 months every day. When you are done, you come back, let's talk about this. It's been 1 year, sir. Because it's not a problem. Say, so you pursued member. No, the way she roamed here, she will roam out. Just like that. Moving around. When you find a home, stay faithful there. I told you, body parts don't float around. They stick to the body. Amen. That even if there is need for organ transplant in your body, they don't play with it. They want to put kidney inside of you. They don't do it lightly. It's not just anytime you wake up and say, I want to change my kidney. Because I'm changing my kidney. You can't always be doing that. So you stay planted. Some of you that have been here for years, some of you 10 years, if you say there's been no reason for you to ever consider shifting grounds, you are lying. There have been reasons. You are just here because you want to be here. True or true? True. What you don't also realize is that I am still your pastor because I've chosen to be your pastor. I've considered abandoning people to run away a number of times. I've really thought about it. So I said, let's all leave these people and just go. And personally, I'm a very hardworking person. I will make it in life. Don't worry. If I leave you guys to run away, I've considered it. Glory to God. I've thought about it. You see, this way, same way you've thought about leaving, I've thought about leaving people too. Not once, not twice, not up to 10 times. I've thought of someone that said, should I just leave these guys and run away? I can't enjoy my life. It's a thought that comes to all of us. We don't take the thought. I get what I'm saying. It was like one of these that came one day and told his members that he now wants to relocate to the US to go and do his masters. Because many of you have been going to the US to do your masters. Me, I want to go and do my masters. So that I can have a better life for me and my family. The guys were so moody. So he was telling them, just keep the faith. Look for any other church. And join. And when they were feeling so bad, I told them, you guys are feeling bad, right? They said, yes. See, that's the way I feel every time people get up and say, I'm leaving this church. He told them, I want all of us to enter into this marriage. We are not going anywhere. We are going to be here. That's the mindset a son brings into the home. While there will be cases that may demand that there will be changes, I was talking about it like 3 days ago, like marriage and the rest of them, that's still not something you do frivolously. But the mindset you must carry is, this is home. Say amen. So if son is faithful, he stays faithful. Jesus preached a message in John chapter 6. Because of our time, please put it up quickly. John chapter 6, verse 66. He preached a message and the people began to leave him. The Bible said, at this point, many of his disciples turned away from him and deserted him. Many. So even Jesus lost disciples. That again tells you, like I said in the first service, the fact that members are leaving a man of God does not mean he has left God or that God has left him. Even Jesus had a time people left his ministry. Bible said many. So he looked at the 12 and told them, do you guys also want to go? Where I'm actually going into is verse 68 with Message Bible. How Simon Peter replied. Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? you have the words of real life, eternal life. Verse 69, read it, everybody. We've already committed ourselves. That's how some stuff, we've committed ourselves. Though at this moment, Jesus, I don't understand this message you preached about the fact that we should eat your flesh and drink your blood. Because that's what Jesus preached to them. Though I don't understand it, but we have committed ourselves. I feel I'm saying, we have committed ourselves. This is actually how you can grow in God's house. We've committed ourselves. An example I gave them again is Ruth and Orpah. Naomi called both of them and gave them a very interesting counsel. Very logical counsel. Both of them had lost their husbands. You know that story, right? Naomi has lost the husband too. But they were the wives of the sons before the sons died. So Naomi said, there is no point following me. To start with, if I decide I can't even give birth again at this age, even if I want to give birth again, my husband is dead. If I decide to remarry and give birth, before the boys grow up to be able to marry your people, you guys are already old. So there is no point following me. There is nothing for you here. And Orpah said, that makes sense. I understand. That's why I said commitment will be tested. But Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. And God didn't let that commitment go to waste. You see people that are sons, they stick. So, how many people did Jesus feed on earth? One time he fed 5,000 men. You know, there are actually three accounts like that. That is 5,000 men, that is 4,000 men, that is 7,000 men. Each of them excluding women and children. So, add women and children, Jesus fed freely over 100,000 people with food. How many disciples remain in the upper room? 120. Are you guys kidding me? So, sons are not actually many. That's why a local church should be interested in getting people to become sons. Because, again, I say, God is not running a company, He's running a family. And if this is God's family, then we should be here as sons. Number three, a son accepts correction. He receives correction. Well, I won't say much. I explained that yesterday. Anybody that is not being corrected is not a true son. Hebrews 12 tells us that. He said, if you are without discipline, then a translation said, then you are bastards. That is a translation said that. He said, if you are without discipline, he said, you are bastards. You are illegitimate children. Anybody that cannot be disciplined, corrected. If I can't correct you, you're a bastard. A true son will be corrected. So let me even say to you, every time we call you and correct you, I say, hey, stop dressing like that. Or stop talking like that. Don't come church late. Stop loitering during message. Why do you walk around during message? Why are you always operating your phone? Why are you not taking notes? Every time we are giving others correction, we are actually trying to say we recognize you as one of us. Because if we actually don't, we will not care. Correction is one proof that you have been noticed. You know it's true, right? Because if we don't care about, we will not tell you nothing. And so you saw this correction. Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, he said, as my beloved sons, I warn you. As my beloved sons, I warn you. So, sons, okay, are warned. Sons are warned. As my beloved sons, I warn you. So, a father should always provide warning and correction. So, sons receive correction. So, it's not when they give correction, they start acting up. Or maybe somebody say, sir, in a way you are preaching, I felt you are preaching with my case. To start with, let me clarify this. I don't preach with anybody's case. Dead or alive, I don't do that. I cannot have you in mind that I'm preparing my message. I know that's important. What if you don't come to church that day? What if after having you in mind to prepare my message, you don't come to church? That's one. Number two, even if a pastor has you in mind to prepare his message, that's a privilege. Don't get angry. Number three, if a pastor is preaching your pastor and you feel attacked, that is God talking to you. Because first Hebrews 12 tells us no discipline is sweet when it is given. I get what I'm saying? If you feel attacked, oh, glory to God for that attack. Anybody that ever felt attacked in this church, or not, if you are here, that things that will say, ah, Papa, you should have called me personally to tell me this. I promise I would have listened. But again, it is the working of the Spirit of God, actually. That's what is manifesting. Sometimes the pastor does not know nothing. Sometimes he knows, but he doesn't even remember. I've had people come to me, I shared this story some time ago, somebody came to me, that was during lockdown. I was preaching. That teaching was sharper than two-edged sword. Have you remembered that teaching? Lockdown. It was hot. Very, very hot. So I entered dressing. I said, some of you, just because you want to celebrate small birthday, you go naked all over the place. Because of birthday. So is there now church clothes and birthday clothes? I was blowing hot. And I'm blowing hot again now. To someone that is going to sow rubbish to snap birthday picture. To start with, if I am your friend in this church, I will not post that your picture. Now, that is actually a way for me to show you that I don't approve that. How can you go naked? Ordinary birthday. You may call a wedding. Just small birthday you want to do. You are just all over the place. Your laps outside, your cleavage outside. Birthday. So he wants to show us that you are naked when they give birth to you. We know. Remove the clothes. Birthday, you go naked. Pre-wedding pics, you go naked. Wedding picture, you go naked. Pregnancy bump. Share what they call that one. Jesus Christ, are you people okay? So I was talking like this, and the lady already had posted her birthday picture 2 days before that day. So after she chatted me up, said, sir, I was blessed. But sir, you should have just told me about this picture thing. I thought that, well, I didn't remember that. But thank God I didn't remember. Maybe if I had remembered it, I would have spoken like that. I would have been considering your emotions. But see that way it came out hot. That's why you should take the picture down hot. And thank God she did. That's correction. I get the point. So some of you that have prepared that clothes, you didn't know. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You've not prepared it. You screenshot it. Hoping that when your birthday is coming, delete it. You will not sew that clothes. I'm just telling you, you won't sew it. Sew something decent. Are you getting blessed now? Something decent. Actually, I think there is beauty in decency. I actually think there is beauty. Sincerely, I think there is beauty in decency. Leave all this. Things. I think it is low self-esteem that makes ladies want to go naked. Say amen. It's low self-esteem. And those naked things are actually expensive to buy. Not because they are expensive to sew, but because those guys are leveraging on your insecurities. They know you want to be naked, so they just make all those skimpy things and then you buy them. And you're feeling yourself. Glory to God. So I'm asking some of you young girls, what advice will you give your children? What counsel? Your child comes back from school wearing something short. What will you tell her? And see, let me say this to you. I know you don't. You see that church pastor is talking like this. It's because you came that God put it in my heart to say it. Change your dressing. I don't know what brought this one on. This is the first time. Change your wardrobe. Small. That's not even how to look for husband. You are wearing short skirts and you are praying for a spiritual brother. If you are a spiritual brother, will you marry you? May God help you. Some clothes are for your bedroom. For your bedroom. There's nothing wrong with bone shorts. It's just for your bedroom. You now wear it and you come out to the street. And wear tight. I call it biker shorts. So I don't used to wear it. It's only when I want to go and buy something from Spa. So think about it. Have you seen that guy? It's only when I want to go to ShopRite. Where is more crowded than ShopRite? What you are looking for, you will see it one day. Because you are actually looking for something. That thing you are looking for, one day you will find it. Back to the message. So you must receive correction well. Now, if you get angry, if you got angry just now, it proves what I'm saying. They are not a son. But you should become one. Or you're a son, but not a good son. Glory to God. I love the ministry of the Word of God. Do you? Very unsentimental ministry. You know, the thing is that if you meet me down the stage, I don't talk like this. I can be very calm. When I'm not wearing the anointing of a pastor. Because sometimes you meet me down and say, I'm wearing that anointing. If you meet me in my family life, I'm calm. Whenever you come around and that anointing of a pastor comes, I will talk like this. And no apologies. No apologies. It will do you good later. And I heard the Lord say I should say this. Please. Today is still very early to be adjust. If you are guilty, don't say I've been dressed like that. That's just me. That's not you. Today is still a day you can readjust. As some of our young people here, some of our young guests, sincerely, I know how some of you are dressing before I met some of you. There are some guests here, I know deep down your heart you like short skirts for some reason. But you see, you can't wear it. You've readjusted. And over time, you can't even imagine yourself wearing that thing again. We all had to adjust at some point in our lives. There are some brothers I know, they like sagging their trousers and keeping it here. Draw that thing up. You're not even rich yet. So it's not as though the boxers you are showing is expensive. So what's all of that? You respect yourself. You have to readjust. You shouldn't laugh, just be calm. Well, glory to God. Open to correction. Two more things, we close. A father, a son walks in honor. Malachi 1 verse 6. A son honors the father. If I be your father, where is my honor? Malachi 1 verse 6. So you must walk in honor. Honor is in three different dimensions. That is honor of the heart. That honor of the heart is to value someone, to hold the person in high esteem. You find that in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12. Those that are over you and above you in the Lord, hold them in high esteem. That's honor of the heart. You esteem the person highly. You admire, he's in admiration. I just value pastor. I just admire him. That's that. Then there is honor in words. That one restricts you from saying something. You can't say, that pastor. No. There's honor in words. I'm not teaching on honor today. When time comes, I'm going to talk about it. Not in this series. So there's honor in words. Where you mind what you say about the anointed. Then there is honor in action. That's where you respect people. Where you give. If you honor a father, you must give to him. Okay, where the Bible talks about double honor in 1 Timothy 5, 12 and 13. It was actually talking contextually about giving to a minister. Double honor. So, you honor. A true son honors the father. Sons don't live in dishonor of their father. They don't do that. If our sons cannot be where you dishonor both their father and their family, they will face you. Then lastly, a true son serves with the father. We'll close with that. A true son serves with the father. We already read Philippians 2 verse 22. Where Paul said, you know the proof of him, talking about Timothy, that as a son with the father, he has served with me. It's a true son serves. That's why if you're here, you should be ready to serve. Sir, is it to be washing your car? No, sir. Serving with me in the gospel means you are willing to serve. You are in the choir, you are serving, you are in the usher. So when you come into this place, you should want to serve. So that's why we start you off with PGTI Basic. After that, when you finish PGTI Basic, the question you should ask your teacher the last day you are ending the class is, so where can I begin to serve? That's the heart of a son. A true son serves the father, serves in the house. Serves is a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a great, great thing. So Timothy served with Paul. Titus served with Paul. And let me say this before we close. If son does not serve, because that's one terrible mindset many people carry into the house of God today. A son does not serve with the mindset of, this is my pastor's church, so I'm just doing it. No. A son owns the vision and serves like he owns it. With all his heart. He doesn't serve with eye service. He serves with all his heart. So you see that your father, I referred you to, that your, those are your parents. They've transferred pastors in your center more than 10 times, more than 30 times. Yet, they are still there in that sanctuary cleaning department. Why? They are serving the church. That's the heart. They own it. It's not about the pastor, whether the pastor is smiling or not. They're there to serve. A true son will serve. And a true son will serve and own it. I show two scriptures very close, and I won't do that again, about the life of David. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34, let's see that and we close now. Put it up on the screen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. It's emphatic that you see he didn't say, I was keeping my sheep. He said, I was keeping my father's sheep. It's not as though the sheep belong to me, but they belong to my father. And I want to show you something here. He said, there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb. He didn't take all the sheep. He took only one lamb out of the flock. One lamb. Verse 35. I went out after him and smote him and delivered him. So David ran after a lion because a lion took one lamb from the sheep. That is the heart of a son serves with. You don't say, this sheep is not my own. Which what concerns me? And I gave them an example in verse, I showed them something in verse 7. In verse 28, go to verse 28, don't tell verse 28 of this chapter. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the man. Eliab's anger was killed against David. Watch this. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? So Eliab referred to those sheep as few. So they were not actually plenty. It's not as though there were 1 million sheep, there were few. So David was asked to keep it, but he stayed faithful, serving and keeping it. Put up like NLT of this. King James said few sheep. Quickly. NLT said few sheep. Amplify Classic, come on. Glory to God. Don't worry, my note has not failed me. Glory to God. Amplified Classic said, this one said, a few sheep. Message Bible said, who did you leave those crowny sheep for? That's crowny. What was the word crown? That's crown. What does it mean? Talk to me. Talk now, you might be correct. Crown actually means bony, thin, unattractive. So it's not like the sheep you had to keep was some massive thing. So maybe you are here, you are just asked to be cleaning church. That may be your crowning sheep. You are just asked to be sweeping. That's your crowning sheep. You are asked to be an usher. That's your crowning sheep. But if a lion comes after that sheep, you go after it. You own the vision. That's how his son serves in the house. He's not serving because he wants anybody to notice him. Because you know the truth of the matter is that if you cannot protest crowning sheep, you cannot protest 1,000 sheep. Some people think that if they make them pastors, they will do well. Whereas they say they should be in a cell. You don't even attend your cell meetings. I think they make you pastor, you suddenly become a great pastor. It takes a great follower to be a great leader. So, those crowning sheep. Amen. And that's why, please, friends, take service seriously. And when you have, I want to say this, when you are loyal at heart like this, one of the things God is going to do for you, your own life and your business, even in your life, is that He brings loyal people around you. I'm telling you. Some of you that are asked to lead a team, you find out when you are faithful and loyal like that, it's easier for people around you to be loyal like that. Do you know this character that David had later brought some kind of men around him? You know, we saw that in the first service, right? Let me see that. I think that was the last thing we saw in the first service. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16. Put up penalty. Please watch. And read that word. What's the name of that guy? Ishbi-benob. You know that man? He was one of the giants. Who were the giants? Remember, David killed Goliath. One of Goliath's relatives. They were still hurting from the death of Goliath many years after. Because I want to see why I put it. This is not in my notes, but the Lord brought it to my spirit in the first service. I started to show it to you too. Because when we say, honor your pastor, serve your pastor, protect your pastor, people say, why? Why are people that important? You have to understand how God's kingdom, but as I'm showing you this. This man was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. And he had cornered David and was about to kill him. This was when David was already old. I know what I'm saying. He was already old. But you know, a father wants to keep going and going. And you know, one error of fathers and leaders that they don't know when to stop. Do you understand the point? I'm guilty, but it's fine. They just keep going and going and going. That's why every pastor, every minister, every leader in any capacity, pray that God gives you a good wife. One thing a good wife will do for you is to stop you sometimes. I say, you're overstretching yourself. Sleep. Say amen. So, just keep going and going. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Then David's men declared, you are not going out to battle with us again. Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel? King James said, why do you want the light of Israel to be put out? Because if you keep going, he said, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. If David drops dead, the light of Israel is quenched. But how did David have this kind of loyal men around him? The man had loyalty running in his blood. So many times people get very angry at, look at the kind of people that follow pastor. This guy, they're slaving for them. Well, maybe, just maybe, people attract their kind. I don't break my ranks. I don't break my ranks wherever I am. I learned that early. I get what I'm saying. So David was that kind of man. I had this man that said, you cannot go with us to battle again. Because they understood that this is the man that God has given the torch. So you are there. That's how to follow a father. But do you know one thing I want to say finally? Who was this Abishai? Abishai was one of David's mighty men. Who was this Abishai? Before David became king, David went to the cave of Adullam one day. I think that's 1 Samuel 21 or so. He went to the cave of Adullam, verse 1. Because Saul was pursuing him. He ran. And ran to that cave of Adullam. See verse 2. I don't know whether I'm right. Just the next verse. Okay, chapter 22, yes. David therefore departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So he escaped. He was running. He was not king yet. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Verse 2, read with me. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was, they gathered himself unto him, and he became the captain over them. About 400 of them. So there were tired, frustrated men. But they came and stayed with David. This was way before he became king. That's why I told you, sonship is formed over time. They had stayed with him for long. Later when he now became king, they were now the men that could stand with him and fight the Philistines. I'm going to tell someone, whether you are tired now, whether you think you're not perfect, once you can stay and stay to be trained and to be instructed and to follow, there is no limit to what God can make out of your life. There's no limit. Look at that. Put up another translation of this. They were in distress. NLT. Living translation. Then others began to come in. Men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented. So people say, in my ministry, we have 30 rich men. David started with 400 men who were in debt, who were in trouble, who were discontented. That's why they learned to stay with him for that long. That's why you are joining this ministry now. Now you don't have money. Sometimes you even borrow money to come. You know, there was this guy in my dad's church doing very well financially now. But just as that 2 years ago or so, he was so broke that he used to steal his auntie's money to come to church. A big man, who steal money to come to church. You know. Then, I don't know whether I should finish this story. How did God change his fortune? They were giving. Dad announced they'll be giving for one project. And say that the least anybody can give is a particular amount. And the guy came to meet that at the back and said, "Sir, I actually want to give this, but look at actually what I have. Can I give what I have?" And my father said, the pastor in him was going to say, it's fine, I understand. He said, but he said, stretch yourself and give it. And he said, yes, sir. His financial fortune changed in 6 months from one job to another job to another job. That's, and I'm saying this, that I've switched to say that there is an inheritance for sons in every family. There is a portion for sons. There is a blessing for sons. Before Abraham, before Isaac died, he blessed Esau and Jacob. Jacob first, then later Esau. Before Jacob died, he spoke about the sons because fathers carry blessings for their sons. That's why I never fail to pray for you actually. Because if you're a true son here, there are things that are for you. Try what I'm saying. Stay committed. Be available to be trained. Commit yourself. What you find out, apart from everything I've said, the anointing will begin to work more for you, because there are things that are exclusive for sons actually. There are things that are exclusive for sons. There are things that are exclusive for sons. So there are times I will speak over you. Expect that things will change. Because there's an inheritance that is for sons. You must recognize the people that carry the blessing in your life. One of those people, for instance, is a spiritual father. That is if you are a son. Are you what I'm talking about? These men gathered with David. They were nothing. They had nothing. But David stayed with them. Gradually. Years after, they were now mighty men. Have you ever read about David's mighty men? Go and read about these guys. We are dangerous warriors. As one of them fought a lion alone. It's only something that killed lion in the Bible. These men, one of them killed lion. Stood and faced lion alone and fought the lion. One of David was just shouting. He was just playing. Or he was just talking. I wish somebody can just bring me water from the well of the Philistines. That is the well where the Philistines were camped. Three of these guys went to war. We entered the camp of Philistines, fought them to death, and brought a cup of water for David. David began to feel guilty. He said, "I can't drink this water. It's like drinking blood." Those men were strong, but who were they? I don't know how you came into this church. Maybe you came in here, you are in debt currently. Maybe now your life is not working. Maybe you came in frustrated, you are even in guilt. Maybe you came into this place, your life is, nothing is even moving. Maybe you even contemplated suicide last week, because that's what I'm talking to now. Your life is not even working at all. But you've come like one of these men. All we are asking you to do, commit to training, commit to instructions. Your life will take make a super turnaround. And not because I am too powerful, but because God's word is powerful. Nobody can resist change that God's word brings once he is exposed to it. Once you are hearing God's word every day, following what he says, there is no way to not change you. Give me a message of this. Stand to your feet. Let's close. Give me a message of this. Say, not only that, but all who were down on their luck came around. Losers and vagrants and misfits of all sorts. Look at the kind of people. That's why you actually don't have to be perfect for God to start anything with you. So you came in here, but God says, I want you to be a son. So give yourself to training. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed? Some of you need to readjust. Some of you begin to take steps. Some of you are coming here for the first time. And somehow God is impressing it in your heart. You should actually stay more here. Try giving yourself to the trainings we offer. You will see growth. Some of you have been here for some time, but you know you've not been doing so well here. Adjust. There is so much that God wants. Apart from the fact that we can minister healing, anybody can get healing, anybody can get promotion. But there are blessings that are exclusive for sons. And I'm telling you, everyone that is on the side of my voice who is a son in this house, one thing that is going to go with you is the voice of a father. That voice, that voice of a father changes things. And I'm saying to someone, everywhere you are and there are negative voices speaking against you, the voice of fatherhood will swallow up that voice. Now, exactly what I'm saying is, anyone here that has been placed under any curse by anybody, in the name of Jesus, we reverse that curse. You know, Jacob placed a curse on Reuben. He was his biological father. He was his biological father. In Deuteronomy 33 and verse 6, Moses stood as a spiritual father over Reuben and said, let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. So he reversed the curse that was put on Reuben. And I'm going to say to you, as a spiritual father, anyone here that has been brought under any curse by what someone has said, we reset those things in the name of Jesus. And I speak as a father over you. I say, you are blessed. I say, be blessed. I say, be blessed. Let the fatherly blessing be evident upon your life. Let the fatherly blessing be evident upon your life. It will be one of your biggest testimonies from these 30 days. It will be clear to everyone that something extra is working for you. And some of you will hear people tell you, something extra is working for you. Now, go with the blessing. Go with the blessing. Break new grounds. Break new grounds. Enter new territories. In the name of Jesus. As the Father speaks over his people, I speak over you. May God's blessings go with you. You know, Bible said by a prophet, God brought Israel out of Egypt. Wherever you are now, misfit, vagrant, whatever, wherever you are now, I bring you out from here to your next level now. In the name of Jesus. Listen, the reason why fathers will speak over their children, their sons, their members, whichever one you say, all the time, is because look at the kind of men that came to David. Misfits, vagrants, all of those. The kind of people that will come to you as a pastor are not supposed to be perfect people. That's why your mouth must never be short from speaking about them. Speak about them again and again. If they don't catch it now, they'll catch it tomorrow. When they come again, speak again until one day that word is going to shift them. And as I'm going to tell you, your level has changed. Your season has changed. Better days are here. Progressive days are here. The days of the curse has come to an end now. In the name of Jesus. Enjoy the blessing. Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.